World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I've been waiting to do this show here. I've been prepping this, and in my heart, in my whatever. Can you prep something in your heart? Anyway, this one's been at work inside of me for several days. I told Michelle, I said, "Man, it's gonna be a good one." So listen, I'll tell you right now. We'll give you a few seconds, a few minutes, whatever. Email somebody, text somebody, and say, "Hey, you got to tune in. Want to be encouraged? Tune in to Coach." So I'm going to give you a chance right now. All of us, there's 39, 40 of us in the queue. Who knows how many are watching? Take a minute. Say, man, you want to be encouraged? Tune in to Coach right now. So I'm going to give you some of you a chance to be able to do that. It's Thursday. It's the ninth day of July 2020. Hard to believe. Mike Heath got fired. We're going to talk. Mike's going to be with us tomorrow. Mike Heath is back in the queue today because he got fired at FedEx yesterday. And we're going to dive into that tomorrow. Micah, just go ahead and take a brief sec without laying too much out there on the line. Tell people in a nutshell what happened, and then we'll talk more about it tomorrow.
Well, good morning, Coach. You're going to get the exclusive. I hope we can get into the weeds on it tomorrow. But basically, I got fired for being disqualified from stepping foot on FedEx property anywhere in the world for being a Christian American white man. And we'll fill each of those terms out in tomorrow's show.
Mm-hmm. See, people who live in glass houses or whatever, I was trying to steal a phrase. It doesn't really apply. A lot of people don't really understand exactly what's going on. They really, really don't. And I got a lot of different, when I was doing show prep this morning, boy, I was up early this morning. Man, was I up early. When I was doing show prep today, had a lot of things that tried to distract me, to pull me away from what I knew I was supposed to talk about today, and been fighting the good fight of faith. Boy, that's a great word, isn't it? Good fight of faith. Fighting that thing hard today, as I want to go a lot of different directions with everything that's going on in the world. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. I was going to bring it up. I don't want to talk about it, but we now know from the official. Autopsy report and some of the information that was released that George Floyd died from something other than, it wasn't murder, folks. It wasn't murder. And as the body cam has been released, I don't know how many of you know this. I'm not going to talk about it. Okay. I'm not talking about it, but I'm just wetting your whistle. Some officer cam information came out yesterday. And did you know this? Do you know that they took him out of the car because he said he was claustrophobic and he was having a difficult time breathing? Did you know that? That he asked to lay down on the floor. They have all this on video, Kim. He asked to lay down on the ground. He asked to. The police officer did what I always told you guys when I was coaching wrestling, when a kid would say, I can't breathe. I'd say, hey, well, shut up then. If you can't breathe, quit wasting your breath. George Floyd died from a drug overdose, folks. He did not die. He was not murdered. Isn't that something? Oh, yeah. Big setup. I'm not going to talk about it. Just wet your whistle on that one today. You can see why I was conflicted and why I wanted to talk about all the other things. Going to Kentucky this weekend. Looking forward to seeing all of our friends down there. If you're interested in being part of it, just email me. Say, Coach, what's going on? Love to be part of it. We're going to be down there all day Saturday and part of the day on Sunday. Michelle and I are going to see OJ and Dorita and Linda and Bob and some of our good friends. Looking really, really forward to it. Don't forget all hands. No, I'm not calling that. The tactical training at Sky High that's taking place next weekend. Hey, listen, folks, some of you don't listen very well. Some of you do not listen very well. If you are not registered, you are not getting on the property. Now, I don't know how much I hate to think that you're going to drive all the way from Tuscaloosa, California. If you have not signed up, you are not coming on the property. All right? All right? You say, well, Coach, I told you I was coming. Did you sign up? Have you gone to the website and signed up? We have a lot of preparation, a lot of different things we have to do. It's going to be a great, great weekend, great fellowship, great stuff going on. Have you signed up? Well, Coach, I told you. I told you 4 weeks ago I was coming, really. Have you signed up? Can you go to CoachDaveLive.com and sign up? Can you do that? Yes,
Larry. Hey, Coach. Yes. I just want to put out there that that is not a mean stand to take. It is a respectful stand to take for those who did sign up.
Well, Larry, not only that, it's a security issue. It's a security issue. I want to know who's coming. Infiltration is a real thing, folks, a real, real thing. And so if you just think you're going to come moseying in here and come on, I'm just telling you, if you have not, if your name's not on the list, you ain't getting in. Okay? Great, great. Because we're doing a lot of vetting, a lot of different stuff. Now I just, all we do is talk. In fact, I think if they were to define this show, they would probably say, oh, you got to listen to the Coach. It's a talk show. That's probably what they would define it as. Because, you know, there aren't many do shows. Do shows. Do you ever listen to Rush Limbaugh? Is he a do show or a talk show? Hannity, a do show or a talk show? I want to be a do show. That's what I want to do. And I was kind of jolted awake earlier this week by, of all people, my wife. My wife. She said to me, in a loving way, as only women can do, and those of you who have a wife know what I'm talking about. She said, what are we going to do? I just paused for a second. What do you mean? What are we going to do? They're stealing our freedoms. They're making us wear masks. They're doing all kinds of things that they're not allowed to do to us. They're creating sicknesses. What are we going to do? She said to me. And I'm thinking, I'm looking around, Roger. I'm looking around. I'm thinking, you know what? If I ain't doing, ain't hardly anybody else is. Because I'm a frontline doer. And so I asked myself, self, what are we going to do? What are we doing? No, no, self, why aren't we doing something? Why aren't we? Why aren't we? Why aren't we doing something? And here's what came to me. It's what I want to talk to you about today. Pull up James 1, Sheldon. I think it's Sheldon. It's the second email I sent you today. James 1. Folks, I'm going to talk to you today about faith. Faith. I'm going to talk to you today about faith. I had Sheldon bring up on the screen the King James Version of James 1. And I want to read it to you. I want to have a discussion, and I want to take you through a faith walk today, if we can. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, when James is talking about spreading abroad, I don't think he's talking about America and Russia. I think it's probably pretty regional at this point. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, boy, thank you, Lord, worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But, let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith, no wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And boys and girls, let not that man, which man? The man that's tossed and driven with the wind. Folks, let that man think that he's ever going to get anything from God. No. Why? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Double-minded man. We're double-minded. I'm talking to us. I'm talking to me. We patriots, whatever we want to call ourselves, we're double-minded. And we're double-minded because let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. So I said, Lord, what is faith? What does it mean to have faith? Have faith in God. I got faith in you, brother. I got faith in you. Without faith, it's impossible to please. You want to please God? Well, you can't please him if you don't have any faith. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. It says he gave all of us the same measure. He gave all of us the same amount of faith. I guess it's a matter of how much we want to exercise it and develop it and use it and power it up. Why is it everybody's got a bicep, but some guys got bigger biceps than others? Because they exercise it more. Exercise your bicep, you get a bigger bicep. You exercise your legs, you do some squats, you get stronger legs. You exercise your faith grows. You get stronger faith. And the Lord told us that if we don't have faith, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible. What? It's impossible to please God. Bear with me here. I know some of you want to jump in here already. I'm going someplace. So I was talking to the Lord about me. I said, Lord, why do I have such little faith? Lord, why do I have such great faith in some areas and so little faith in others? Can anybody say amen? I don't know if I'm heading home yet.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you feel like you have great faith in some areas and so little faith in other areas? Why is that? You got to tell you the truth right now, without any hesitation. I know this to be from the Lord. Abortion's legal in America for one purpose. We lack faith. We lack faith. It says all things are with God, all things are possible. It says if you have faith as a seed of a mustard seed, that you can save that abortion clinic, be thou destroyed, be thou torn. If you have faith, just not name it, claim it. There's something deeper going on here, something deeper going on. And this is what spurred me yesterday. It spurred me on. Sheldon, if you would, I'm not done yet. Hang in there. Hang in there with me. Sheldon, I want you to go to my Facebook page, if you would. Because yesterday, I got the video of Beverly Beatty and the crew. Remember I showed you yesterday the video of Ken Scott being arrested and the black women being arrested and all, and Pastor Dale knows them. And I come to realize the relationship that they have with Ken and Joe Scott, our friends, are much deeper than I realized. I didn't realize that. And then I got on Facebook and there they were. There was Beverly Beatty. Scroll on down there a second, Sheldon. It'll pop up there. Excuse me. And she was talking to us and I called my wife over. I said, honey, you gotta listen to this. Yeah, listen to this. Clear on down. I don't know. Where is that stuff? Is this my Facebook page? Sure is. I don't know how we're clear down. Keep going, man. Keep going. Come on. No, no. Didn't I send you the link to my Facebook page? Scroll down, Sheldon. I don't know what happened. I sent you a link, I thought. Anyway, I'm listening to Beverly Beatty. And as I'm listening to her, I'm thinking to myself, self, there it is, there, right there. Now, Sheldon, move it forward to about the 17-minute mark, and you can play it at 1.5 speed. And I'm thinking to myself, self, how come I'm not in jail? That's what I thought. I'm just telling you the truth. I look around America. Nobody's doing anything. Very few people's eyes are open. And I'm watching Beverly Beatty get arrested, Ken Scott get arrested, because they're trying to make him wear masks, and nobody's doing anything. And I said, Lord, why am I not arrested? And I turned on Beverly, and I'm going to pick this up about the 17-minute mark. And I want you to listen to this, and I want you to ask yourself, if this convicts you the way it convicted me. Go ahead, Sheldon.
We're called to be considerate of others. What kind of Christian are you and what Bible are you reading? Because it ain't the Holy Book. You reading T.D. Jakes. You're not reading his man-made book. You ain't reading the Bible, the Word of God. And if you are not reading it in its totality. Because just from you saying, I know you don't know God. I know you have no relationship with him. And I know if he was right before you, you wouldn't even be able to recognize him. Y'all the type of people who would call John the Baptist crazy. They deemed John the Baptist a nut. And Jesus said that he was the greatest among all of those in Old Testament. John the Baptist was greatest. And he was still the least in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is right here at hand. Fighting, decreeing, professing the Lord with light. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand right now. Holy Spirit abides in me. King Jesus lives in me and he moves through me and he's called to move through you. What are you talking about? Oh, that's not the way we're supposed to do things. Sweetie, you wouldn't even know how to exactly do things because I guarantee you, you're not actually out doing it. You're sending an opinion. When you get out here on these front lines for Jesus, you grow really quick, really quick. You get some skin in the game real quick. You learn, oh man, you got to watch it because Jesus will have you do something you didn't think you was going to do. You'll rebuke somebody a whole new skin color and you wouldn't even have known you did it. And you came in the name of Jesus. And all of this always supposed to be in love. Listen, God is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love bears all things. Love hopes all things. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. And guess what? Jesus is God in the flesh. Therefore, Jesus is God. God is love. When you come in the name of Jesus and no other name, not your own name, not your mama name, not your daddy name, and not religion name, but when you come in the name of Jesus, the only name, Jesus, you are moving in love, period. And no, you may not perfect everything all the way through, but your heart is to serve the Lord. You are a living sacrifice carrying your cross. There's a lot of people with a lot of opinions who have not carried their cross. There's a lot of people with a lot of opinions who have not died to self. You still holding on to self and to people pleasing and yet trying to tell somebody else how to serve the Lord. Yet you yourself don't know how to do it because you have not died to self. You still holding on to self and kumbaya and making sure that people don't perceive Jesus the wrong way. Jesus, God doesn't need to be a defender of men. He can defend himself. Be obedient. Stay in your lane. Stop being a Jezebel. Stop trying to dictate how you think Christ is supposed to be displayed and actually display him how he wants to be displayed. You're the wife. He's the husband. He's the leader. Stay in your lane. So I just come against that Jezebel spirit right now in the name of Jesus because that is a Jezebel spirit. The church or people who say they're Christians have been leading over Christ. You don't hear from Christ. You do what you want to do and then you say, oh, I come in the name of Christ. No, you don't. You come in the name of you. You come with the form of holiness, but deny the power thereof. And you come with the fear of man, which is a snare. Oh, no. So we're not buying that. At the end of the day, we thank God because God is with us. And when God is with us, who can be against us, y'all? You guys stood with us. You guys supported us. The ones that really did stand. I seen a lot of people throwing laughing emojis at Edmé when she was in pain. You are sick for you to even laugh and think that's funny. I just pray for you because your heart is cold. For you to think that was funny, it's not funny. You're disgusting. And I'm going to tell you that to your face. You're disgusting to do that. Ain't nothing funny about watching somebody suffer for Christ's name's sake. But guess what? It's all good because the Bible says, rejoice for those who are persecuted in my name's sake, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. It's ours, period. So with that being said, saints, y'all step up. It's time for y'all to do the same. It's time to fight. Get out and fight and have faith and know that God is with you and you're going to be victorious no matter what the devil does. And also know that I love you and I appreciate all the support that you guys have been giving. And also, let's make something very clear. I do not ask for donations. Edmund does not ask for donations.
You can cut it off. It convicted me. I don't know if it convicted you or not. Why am I not in jail? Can somebody answer that? Why am I not in jail?
Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I have an answer, but, and it's hard for me to say this because I've not been in jail, but when you look at the success of BLM or other, whatever you want to call it, they seem to be willing to risk jail more. They seem to be willing to risk arrest more. And the second thing is they seem to be willing to gather in large numbers and agitate. And it's the old squeaky wheel thing. I think that's one of the reasons any movements that we participate in are sometimes not successful, is because of those two things. The lack of, and I think of Paul in the Bible being in jail so much, but you know, I've not been arrested, and probably, nor do I plan to, maybe, but I think that's the key. We're not willing to go far enough on some of these issues that we are concerned about.
Can I tell you why? Thanks, Roger. I think it was well said.
I think we're afraid.
It's fear. It's fear. Look, you tell me it's fear. Folks, listen, you better hear me. You think fear is not a powerful force. Look around. Look around at the mask wearers and the social distancers and those that are locked down. Look around. All of them being motivated by fear. But we're not supposed to be double-minded. We're supposed to be men of faith. Faith and fear cannot abide in the same heart, folks. They cannot abide in the same heart. And if you, I don't care who you are, if you're a pastor, whatever, and you say that you are social distancing and you're not holding your church because of whatever, can I tell you the truth? Can I get right down to the bottom with you, boys and girls, because I'm talking to me? You ain't doing nothing because you are afraid. Bottom line, you are afraid. You don't want to pay the price. It's exactly what she was saying. We don't want to pay the price. We don't stand up and fight and push back. We don't have faith. I'm going to get to that in a second. Come on in.
I was going to say the third thing of the tripod that might play in there is most of us are kind of law-abiding. The concept of protests, getting arrested, all that is contrary to some extent how we were raised. You know, I was a little rebellious in my frat party life, but I still didn't go around getting arrested. I still kind of had a boundary there.
Well, Roger, that's Sheldon pulled up there. I don't even know if I didn't send it to you. My latest commentary is called Policing the Law Abiding. It's funny that you would say that. I'm not going to take time to read it. You're going to have to find it online. Policing the Law Abiding. That's what they do. I wrote this in 2007. You understand that what the government wants to do is keep the law-abiding people following the law. They ain't messing with the criminals. They're out with radar guns, getting speeders, looking for people who aren't buckled up, looking for taillights that are busted, looking for brake lights that don't work, looking for cars that don't have their registration. They're not out after the criminals. They're not out after the criminals. They're policing us. They're just controlling us. Why, Roger? Because you hit it. They know we're law-abiding. We're law-abiding. We've been taught to be law-abiding. What do you do when the government becomes lawless? When the government becomes the promoter of evil, what does a Christian man do? Well, we don't do anything because we're fearful. We call it being a good citizen, but it's not. It's fear. Go, Mike.
Oh, this is Gary. Here's another consideration, and I can speak for myself. Having to care for family members and not wanting to be in a place of not being able to do that because you're in jail.
I understand. Hey, Gary. Gary, I love you. Good excuse. Gary, what if you died? Go ahead, Mike.
To illustrate Gary's point and your point, that was at the front of my mind. My wife's just emerging from cancer, and I was perp walked halfway across the FedEx terminal last Tuesday. We're going to get into the details tomorrow. My heart was beating. I was scared to death, I was taken into a locked chamber by a good Christian. And that those are his words, the interrogator. And I was not told what was going on. I asked for a lawyer. I asked for time to think about it. My heart was beating like mad. And the only thing I could think about was my loved one, my wife, who's still emerging from cancer. And the fact that this was like this would likely lead to my losing a blue collar job. Well, not only did I lose a blue collar job, I lost the right to step foot on FedEx anywhere in America. So I can't even go back to Maine and get my old FedEx job back. So it started for me with the church saying, no, you use manly words and tone and style on the issue of homosexuality. That's where it started for me years ago as head of the Christian Civic League. No, you're too much the man when it comes to that issue. So they got rid of me. Mm-hmm. And now the blue collar work in America is not open to me as long as it's a corporation, because the laws and the expectations have changed so much that if you don't keep your head way below the parapet, you ain't working tomorrow.
Okay, but here it is, folks. Here's where it is. And I know Larry wants to get in there. I know others want to get in there. Listen, I gotta get this out, okay? I spent a lot of time getting this thing prepared. The battle remains. I don't care what it is. It always ends up faith or fear. I'm sorry. Always. Always faith or fear. That is the battle that we all fight. Sheldon. Go ahead, Larry. I'll let you get in.
Well, yeah.
Hang on a second. Sheldon, pull up Hebrews 1. Go ahead, Larry.
So dead on, Coach. And before we go any further, just let me take about 1 minute here and just cover faith for just a second.
No, I'm going to do it.
No, Coach. No, Coach, please. You said we don't have faith.
Larry, you are not giving me the chance to make my argument. I'll give you a chance to get back in here, okay? Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. Don't put that NIV up there. I'm going to show you that why here in a second, too.
So, Dave?
Yes.
I was just going to say, see, the other side, all right, the opposition are those that are out there causing this. See, they're not acting out of a spirit of not fear or opposite of fear or boldness. There you go. They're not operating of that. See, they have assurances that they are untouchable.
That's right. They're operating in faith. They're operating in faith.
And they're just going out there and they're just doing it. So if you knew that nobody was going to mess with you, how bold would you be?
Amen. Well, hey, Chad, I got the King of Kings on my side. I got the King of Kings on my side. Hebrews 11:1. I'm going to break this down, all right? Now, faith is. You know what faith is? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he goes on down and tells us all these things by faith. Interestingly enough, the third verse says through faith. The rest of the verses say by faith. What is faith? So Sheldon, let's get ready to run down through here. What's faith? Let's go to Webster. Let's just crack this thing open. Because I'm going to tell you, faith and fear cannot abide in the same heart. They're water and fire and water. They cannot abide together, folks. They just can't. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, when you're fearful, you have faith in evil. I'm going to get to all of it. Faith, according to Webster, is belief, the assent of the mind to the truth. Ooh, that's powerful. Faith is the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority. Now listen, folks, do you trust the authority of God or not? Do you trust his authority? Because that's what it is. All faith is believing in what the authority says. belief, the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without other evidence. God said it, I believe it. Chad said Antifa is not afraid because they know somebody's going to bail them out, right? Well, they have faith in somebody bailing them out. Why do we not have faith in the creator of faith? Why do we not have it, right? Faith is the assent of the mind to the truth. Truth, the assent of the mind to the truth of a proposition advanced by another. In the theology, it is the assent of the mind or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed. Folks, listen, if you don't do something because of fear, you are denying God. You're calling God a liar. Now, this is not name it, claim it. That's not what I'm talking about, because that's where we always take it up. We're justified by faith. What is faith? Faith is, are you with me? Am I doing okay so far? Doing okay? I'm trying to build something. I'm going to let you get in here and discuss it in a minute. Okay, so I'm reading Romans, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith, we found out what faith is. Faith is believing something without having any proof of it. That is what faith is. Trusting the author and the finisher of our faith, right? The abortion clinics open because we fear the government more than we trust the Lord. Somebody say amen, because it's just as simple as that.
Amen, coach.
It's just as simple as that. Okay? So then, faith is substance. What is that, Sheldon? What does Webster say substance is? Substance, according to Webster, is, in a general sense, being something existing by itself, that which really is or exists, equally applicable to matter or spirit. Folks, listen. Faith is tangible, touchable, real in the spirit realm. It is more real than our own lives. Faith is a force. It's a force. In fact, that faith is so powerful that belief can be used negatively. And all fear is a belief. It is faith in the bad happening. That's all fear is. Greater faith in the devil and his minions than faith in God. Folks, it ain't any more complicated than that.
Amen, coach.
I'm telling you, hang on. The essential part, the main or material part. Now faith is what? Substance. It's real. It's tangible, touchable. It's not just something out there in the ether zone. Faith is real. Thus the soul of a man is called immaterial substance. Our Larry is real. Outside of that meat suit, Larry has a soul, and it's more real than his body. All of us are that way. Something real, it says substance. Not imaginary, something solid, not empty. Faith is something real. Are you picking it up?
Oh, yeah, coach.
Is substance. Now, look, I got to show you a trick here. Can I show you a trick? This is why I'm a King James Bible guy. Because you go to some of the others and it says faith is the assurance, right? Assurance. Click on that, Sheldon. Click on assurance. Now faith is the assurance. Is assurance a substance? Well, no. Assurance is the act of assuring or of making a declaration terms that furnish ground of confidence. Folks, assurance isn't tangible, touchable. It isn't a force. And some of those Bibles tell you that faith is the assurance. No. It's the substance. Those are not the same thing. I'm going to tell you right now, most of us, we know this from the scripture. Faith, we all have the same measure of faith. It comes down to two things. Number one, what is that faith towards? And how are you exercising that faith? Because fear is nothing more than the counterfeit of faith. Faith is believing. It is substance that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Fear is nothing more than faith that God isn't going to do what he says he's going to do. That's all it is. That's all it is. Hang on. I feel some of you busting. I'm busting too. Hebrews 1, now faith is the substance, not assurance, of things hoped for. What is hope? Hey, Sheldon, what's hope? I sent it to you there. Why, hope is a desire of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable. Does John Brockoff have the faith to end abortion? Do we have that? Myra, do we have the faith to end abortion? Joe, do we have that? Do we have the idea, the hope of a desire of some good? Now faith is the substance, tangible, of things hoped for, which is the desire for something good. Most of you, when you come to make a decision, you are influenced by faith in something bad. It's called fear. It's the opposite of faith. Both fear and faith require belief. Both of them. Say, Coach, this is unbelievable. I know it is. Number two, hope is confidence in a future event. That's what hope is. Confident. Do you have faith that you're saved? Do you fear your salvation? Do you have fear? I don't have any fear at all about that. I'm so confident that what God's promised, he's able also to perform. Well, maybe we ought to ask, what did he promise? What was it he promised? We trust him with our salvation. We trust him and he's going to rescue our souls from hell. We trust him with that. But we don't trust him that he can close an abortion clinic. We don't trust him that Hillary can be thrown in jail. We don't trust him for that. We don't trust him to speak up and say, I'm not going to wear a mask in here, sir. And trust him with the outcome of it. You're not confident to do that? What? Well, then you don't have faith. You don't have faith, as Larry's told us, towards God. You don't have faith towards him. You don't believe that he, Bible says that he is a rewarder. Those who come to Jesus must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is a rewarder through faith. Through faith. Am I doing okay? Somebody say okay. Somebody say amen.
Amen, Coach.
Okay, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet.
Amen.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Well, what's evidence, Sheldon? What's evidence? I told you should have told somebody to turn in. Evidence. That which elucidates and enables the mind to see truth. Wow. Oh my goodness. Evidence is proof arising from our own perceptions by the senses or from the testimony of others or from inductions of reason. Our senses furnish evidence of the existence of matter, of solidity, of color, of heat and cold, of a difference in the qualities of bodies, figures. The declaration of a witness furnishes evidence of facts to a court and jury, and reasoning or the deductions of the mind from facts or arguments furnish evidence of truth or falsehood. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the proof. Evidence is proof. Evidence leads to proof. Any instrument or writing which contains proof. A witness, one who testifies to the fact. Now faith is it's a substance. Oh my goodness. Of hope, meaning good. And it's evidence in a courtroom testifying to the truth.
Amen.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Substance and evidence don't exist by themselves. You have to create them. Faith is the creation of the evidence through that work that you do because of your faith. And your measure of faith is how much power God's given you to do it because of your obedience to produce evidence.
Sounds like circular reasoning, but I'm following you. Come
it's
on in.
True.
It is true. It is true. It is true. Every time I get in a mess and God gets me out of it, my faith grows. My faith grows. And we never put God to the point where he has to come through. Go ahead, Larry.
Hey, amen. I just want to say amen to what you've said. I want to add one thing, though, from God's word. You know, faith toward God. Hebrews chapter 6 was written before Hebrews chapter 11 was. Faith toward God in Hebrews chapter 6, it calls it the foundation. It's a foundation of principles of Christ, of the doctrine of Christ. So if you want to know about the chapter 11 faith, you got to get a handle on the faith toward God first.
Meaning what? That God is who he says he is. He can do what he says he can do, and he's faithful to do it. Folks, that's all it is.
Huh? And also meaning in my heart, in my spirit, that your faith or your actions, your works, because faith without works, that's dead on a doornail, folks. Your actions are directed toward your convincing God that you take him seriously.
Amen. That he says that he is who he says he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Go ahead, Ross.
Well, I was going to add, and I when one steps out in faith, is it fair to say that stepping out should be supported by overall scripture of what you're doing?
I think so, Roger, but I think all stepping out or stepping back has to do with faith. It has to do with whether or not you believe that God says what he says. If he's like I hate to keep going in circles. Sky high. That took faith for me to do that. It took more faith than you'll ever know.
Well, but David, I agree with that. But let's take a look at my office. The person who comes in, house is in foreclosure, 6 months behind, and this is what I've heard more than once in my career. Well, just having faith that God's going to take care of it for me. Now, that type of faith, I have trouble saying would match up with scripture as far as their actions. Or I've had people in my office who are looking for work. And I'll say, well, do you have a resume together? Have you gone out and talked to anybody? And they'll say, well, I just have faith that God's going to take care of things. So I think, one, the individual has to be clearly spoken to as far as what to do. And I believe Sky High would fall into that with you. But the action, I think, has to be supported, or the steps has to be somewhat in line with God's scripture.
Sure.
On that particular topic.
Yes, absolutely. You can't violate his principles, right? Yeah. You can't go steal something and have him bless it. That doesn't work.
Well, that's cut and dry. I mean, but there's a lot of ones that are, because I've often been said, well, Roger, you just don't have enough faith. You're not a risk taker. And I'm like, well, you know, maybe I'm just I think things through too much, or maybe I see things that others don't see, but I've been accused of, you just don't have enough faith, Roger. And that's always bothered me, because it's not, I have as much faith as anybody, but I sometimes will look at things differently.
It's how you exercise the faith, right? It says at the bottom here, evidence to elucidate, to prove, to make clear, to make clear to the mind.
Coach, can I?
In such a manner that the mind can apprehend the truth.
So faith is, in the Greek, how probably it was Paul who wrote this. It is pistis. So I'm just going to reword it and listen and see if this doesn't make sense. Now, pistis, which is the moral conviction in a God whom I do not see, a profession in whom he says he is, and a walk in which he has commanded me to walk.
That's it, man. That's it.
That's faith.
That's faith. Stay with me. I got to wrap this up a second, right?
Thank you.
Yes.
Hey, talked to my son the other day, and I said, hey, the one in D.C., I said, how many of the big-time politicians are wearing their mask? He said, none of them, but we all have to wear them. Coach, what's happened is, you know, where's the platform that will get traction? See, that's the problem I run into. I haven't wore a freaking mask not one time yet down here. And it's in our county. If you don't wear it, it's $250 or $500 fine. But see, here's the problem. If you walk into a burger joint and you don't have your mask on and the health department walks in there and catches you, they fine that business $500 a pop. So that's the problem there. What platform will catch traction where we say, hell no, we're not going to wear it, and we'll be able to do something about it?
Well, we have to do something about it. We have to publicly do something about it. Stay with me. I got to finish up here. So then what is belief? What is belief? Sheldon, that's the next one. What is belief? What are all these words? Do we think these words through? Belief. What do you believe? Who do you believe? Who do you believe? What's belief? Belief's a persuasion of the truth, or an assent of the mind to the truth of a declaration. Folks, do you believe that God can do what he says he can do? Do you believe it? Do you believe it or not? Do you believe it? Huh? Do you believe it? Do we believe God wants to end abortion? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you believe that God wants to end abortion and he hasn't ended abortion, then is the problem with God or is the problem with us? Who's the problem with? Who's the problem with? In some cases, the word is used for persuasion or opinion. Belief. I believe. What do you say? Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. See, there's fear and faith always. There's belief and there's unbelief. The two are at war. It's a battleground of the mind. It's going on constantly. Why am I not in jail? Can somebody tell me that right now? Somebody explain to me why I'm not in jail. You say, well, Coach, you can't go to jail. If you go to jail, who's going to take care of Michelle? Well, I guess the Lord can't. That's right. Lord can't take care of her.
Yeah, but Dave, most of the things you're talking about in jail, you'd be out the next day. I mean, let's be That's honest right. about right. it. We're not committing felons.
No.
If most of us, when we talk about what we would do, it would be a simple misdemeanor. They might not even take you to jail. You know, so It's not even serious charges sometimes that we're not willing to participate in.
So why aren't there 100 of us at Planned Parenthood? Why aren't there? Let me go on. What's doubt? I got to wrap this up. Go ahead. What's doubt? Go ahead, Mark. Pull up the
real
next
quick.
One.
Belief and faith. What is the evidence, the proof, the substance of Adam and Eve's faith, of their belief? Remember, God can't be here to help us fight, because he can't be around sin anymore. He was here with us to overcome and to be, you know, in charge of the earth and animals. He was here, but our sin kept us away because of our belief, surely thou shalt not die. And it eroded our faith, and then we chose to do something other than what God wants. But what's the evidence of their actions? It's our dying.
Amen. So doubt. So, well, you know, I'd go there. I just don't know if the Lord would have me. I don't know if the Lord. Well, what is doubt? It's to waver or fluctuate in an opinion. to hesitate, to be in suspense, to be in uncertainty, to be in suspense, to be in uncertainty respecting the truth or fact, to be undetermined. So if the Lord said, hey, I'd like to see abortion ended, why am I doubting that he wants to do that? Why is the fruit of my actions not, why is abortion not ended? I'll tell you why. Because it's fear. That's what number two says, to fear, to be apprehensive. That's doubt, to suspect, to question or hold questionable. That's doubt. Did God really say, Mark? Did God really say, is that really what he said? You mean?
I don't know. He wouldn't want that for me. He would want that. He wants me to have fun. He wants me to have fun.
He doesn't want me to do. He hasn't called me to do that, right? I'm not supposed to do that. Hey, Sheldon, what's fear? I've got to hurry. It's only 9 minutes left. What's fear? What's fear? Because fear, does doubt lead to fear or fear lead to doubt? Which is it? Which, how does that, how do those two operate? Well, what is fear? Excuse me. This is good.
Fear is a symptom of doubt, Coach.
Fear, does fear create doubt or does doubt create fear? Fear is a painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil. If I go out and try to rescue those babies, good, I might get arrested, fear. The apprehension of impending danger. Fear is the passion of our nature, which excites us to provide for our security on the approach of evil. Mm-mm-mm. The force of this passion, beginning with the most moderate degree, may be thus expressed. Fear, dread, terror, fright. Fear is accompanied with a desire to avoid or ward off the expected evil. Fear is expecting evil. Fear is expecting the devil to punch back when you punch. That's fear. And you say, I don't want that. I don't want that punch. I'm sorry, Lord. I don't want to take that one. I'll let somebody else do it. Fear is an uneasiness of mind upon the thought of future evil likely to come about as a result. So if Mike Heath stands up in his FedEx suit and says faggots with maggots, he should be afraid. And he is so afraid that he's not going to say it anymore. That's how fear operates. And he ends up serving the devil. One more. What's it mean to expect, Sheldon? To expect. These are all words, folks. Words have meanings, right? Words mean things. We are where we are because we lack faith. We lack faith. No plan. So to expect is to wait for. To wait for. To expect. Haven't heard from my wife in a while. Expected her to call. What's going on? To look for, to have a previous apprehension of something future, whether good or evil. Expect in a legitimate sense always refers to a future event. That's exactly what I expected. What was it Job said? The thing that I feared most has come upon me.
Coach,
yes.
Isn't it amazing how many of these definitions are centered around good and evil?
Unbelievable, Larry. I thought I had the same thought when I was pulling those up. Everything. Why? See, because it's a battleground of the mind, and the devil can only get you through falsehood. It's the only way he can get you. It's the only way. It's the only way. I promise you this, Mike Heath, there is good coming out of your firing. That's what faith is all about. That's what faith is all about. An earnest expectation. Mike, something unbelievably great is coming as a result of your firing.
Coach, I know that. And I'm so excited to talk about it tomorrow morning on your show. You get the exclusive.
I got 4 minutes left. I got 4 minutes left.
Hey, Coach, that society was framed upon good and subjugating evil. And there's no reason for us to abandon that.
What did when Jesus went to the cross, what keys did he have in his hands? Anybody remember what keys he had in his hands?
Huh? To the kingdom, to the kingdom.
That's right.
The keys to death, hell, and the grave.
That's true, by the way. It takes faith to believe that, but it's true. You don't have to believe it. I was thinking yesterday, I looked around at some of the people that gotta be careful how I say this. Some of the people that I know whose lives are a total freaking mess. You, anybody out there say amen? I know one of those guys, their life is a total freaking mess.
Amen.
And their life is a total freaking mess because they have rejected everything regarding God. And I want to go to them and say, okay, you tried it without God. How about trying it with him? But it never enters into their mind the fact that they might be exercising their mind in the wrong way. Stop doing what you're doing. Hey, black guys, get a job. Marry the wife of your children, train them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, watch who they hang out with, guard their hearts, and you'll be surprised how much police brutality and all this other stuff is going to go away. Christ is the answer. Hey, can somebody tell me this? Have you heard a national politician say that? You ever heard one? No, they're not going to say that. Why? Why is the NBA buckling and the NFL buckling? Why are they all buckling? Because of fear. They're afraid to say the truth. And the rest of us sit out here and say, what is wrong with you guys? By the way, where are the Republicans? I know where they are. They're fearful. They're fearful. So I want you to know as we wind up here today, I'm getting ready to do something. I don't know what it is, but I'm getting ready to do something. I'm not going to sit around and point it out any longer. While I'm pointing it out, the devil's advancing. While I'm pointing it out, the devil's doubling down. While I'm pointing it out, my grandchildren are being corralled for a future rodeo. My grandkid, my kid. Are you guys with me? Are you guys with me? Pardon me a second. What in the hell are we afraid of? We serve the King of Kings. We serve the... Go back to Hebrews 11. Go back there, Sheldon. Because if you read this Hebrews 11, all of this tells about how these guys all overcame fear. That's the battleground. Faith over fear. And your faith is nothing more than evidence of what you believe. That's all it is. Your actions reflect your belief. That's all it is. That's all it is. And the truth is, if we dig deep down inside of it, we're going to find this out. We love our lives way too much. We've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, not I, but Christ lives within me. So if I go get thrown in jail, it's Christ getting thrown in jail, not me. If I go get arrested, it's Christ being arrested, not me. By the way, he was, you know, he was arrested. Folks, the world's waiting and watching. What is the church going to do? For without faith, it's impossible to please God. We'll see you tomorrow.